This way, they don't have to face an advisory board recommending all these new conditions twice a year that they have to publicly turn down at twice a year. So it may be a way for them to take care of this issue for the foreseeable future.
And part of the agreement was that the Medical Cannabis Advisory Board would be reconstituted. The measure was signed by the governor July 1st, but I have no knowledge of them trying to set up this new panel.
Yes, not that I know of either. I've talked to some people on the old board, and, you know, some said they'd be willing to work on the new one, but and others said they wouldn't as long as it didn't have any, they considered the new board won't have any real power other than to do an annual report. It doesn't seem that they will have much power in the future.
Since the extension was granted in July, we've had some court rulings involving hopeful patients that testified before the old board.
Yeah, these are people, actually these are from cases back from last year that testified before the Medical Marijuana Advisory Board, said they had these serious medical conditions and that marijuana would help them, and the advisory board agreed and recommended them, and they got rejected again by the state. So now they're suing because they said the director basically disregarded the recommendations of the advisory board, and the state is saying, well, it was up to him already, and now under the new law, it's even more clear, and so the attorney general is fighting these rulings in court that are trying to add these conditions.
What is the interest of the Democratic Attorney General to fight this inside with our Republican governor on this issue?
Well, politically, I don't know, but you know, the Attorney General is charged with, they do have to represent these state agencies in court and generally try to represent what the agencies want to do, but they wouldn't comment any further beyond that.
And I'm curious, too, I mean, with it taking essentially court rulings now and sometimes a lengthy process to get conditions added, have you ever heard of any companies holding back on trying to set up their dispensaries or growing sites out of concern that this program is not really where it was supposed to be at this point?
Well, I haven't heard of that lately, but definitely that has been an issue, I think, that everybody's been cautious about. There are still dispensaries that haven't opened because the patient population is so low. It's now finally hit 10,000. It's been growing steadily, but it's still just 10,000, you know, out of a state of, you know, 13 million people or whatever it is, isn't much. So, but, you know, these court rulings that are adding these conditions could significantly expand the program if they take hold. You know, like migraines is one of the conditions that a judge ordered the Department of Health to reconsider adding migraines, which would be a very broad category that could affect a lot of people.
And the most recent one was chronic pain just a couple weeks ago.
Right, chronic post-operative pain. So that's still, you know, more restrictive, certainly. That's for people who've had surgery, of course, as opposed to, right, chronic pain in general in other states has been the main qualifying condition that the vast majority of people qualify for. But that still is not the case in Illinois. That's not on the list. So you have to have a very specific medical condition to qualify.
Obviously, adding PTSD to this was a big part of the population, people that are happy with how this program is going, and they've gotten their medical marijuana card and accessing the treatment pretty easily.
Yeah, the people who I've talked to who've, you know, gotten their cards are very happy with it, but there's still, you know, a lot of people who don't like having to get their fingerprints taken and background check. You know, there have been various proposals to change those aspects of the program, but that won't change probably until the pilot program expires in 2020, and you know, the state lawmakers decide what they're going to do in the long run about this program.
How does this compare up to other medical marijuana programs in other states?
Illinois is very restrictive because of the you know, the tight list of conditions. It doesn't have any broad qualifying conditions like pain, as in a lot of other states, and it's got this fingerprinting background check requirement, which is also, I think it's the only state that has that. So it's one of the most restrictive, but it also is one of the safest because it requires lab testing of all the marijuana to make sure there's no contaminants in it. And, you know, it hasn't had any major problems with diversions that we know of to the black market or people who are not supposed to be getting it.
And you also brought this up in your piece, other states that are looking in the election next month on legalization of the drug. And I'm wondering what impact, if any, that will have on states that already have the medical program going on.
Well, yeah, we've got 9 states this fall that are going to hold referenda on whether to add, I think it's 5 recreational and 4 medical marijuana programs will go to the voters to decide this fall. And, you know, you'd think that any lawmakers would be, like in Illinois, would be watching that to see, you know, what the public opinion is on these marijuana programs at this point.